Welcome to Hell, California, the podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host and narrator, Mike Brennan. Hell, California is an anthology crime show. Each episode is an intriguing, original tale of hard-boiled crime fiction. Noir stories all set in the same mysterious, mythical California border town. It was developed by a team of six writers who came together in March of 2020, working virtually during the pandemic. The following story contains depictions of graphic violence, profanity, and content of a highly sexual nature. This podcast is only intended for mature audiences. Orpheus, Part 3.
Written by Ryan Thomas Riddle. On stage, Omar sways. He's at the peak of his high.
We're gonna get started tonight with a little Coltrane.
Suddenly, Omar is at the tracks again.
Nothing but a shady bitch. Never touched that Tina ship before you. Never shot up before you. Then you left. Gave me up.
Can't escape this life. I still own you. You'll never be free from the ship you did. For those who died into the drugs you sold them. And never free from those who sold you out, like Eric.
What did I tell you? Everything comes out, sooner or later. Keep it in and you'll get all twisted.
To survive, because I'm just another brown boy. Mud to them, mud is you, Omar.
Omar basks in the ovation. I think even Latasha is impressed. Then he books for the green room.
Leave him wanting more. Ain't that what you always say?
exterior of the viper's nest at night, Omar with his sacks exits the back door, drenched, coming down slightly, but still high, and oddly determined.
Hold on, kid. You're not gonna finish the set?
I soared, didn't I? And that one's not good. Been a hot minute since I played like that. Eric would have loved it. Yeah, he would. You know, he used to sit in the front row, watch me on stage at the King. God damn! The notes, Ray. The notes, they came, and Birdie, she flew high. So high. Now I gotta do something else before I leave this place.
Probably best old Ray don't ask.
No. Thanks for letting me bleed up there.
An eerie stillness throughout the city as street lights reflect off the black roads. Omar, with his cigarette on his lips, is hard focused on the road ahead. And in the apartment bedroom, Omar creeps in through the window. It's dark. Omar walks into the apartment living room. A 70s grindhouse samurai movie flickers on the TV. It's the only light in the room. On the couch is Marcus, almost where we left him. His arm is tied off. A needle dangles at the crook. His eyes, a blank stare into nothingness.
Fuck, Marcus. Fuck.
Omar sits on the couch next to the body and picks up a baggie from the table. He holds both that and the needle as he considers another shot. He looks at the body. He gently removes the needle from Marcus's arm and closes his eyes. He takes the baggie and a fresh needle with him as he leaves. Omar walks to his car, cell phone pressed against his ear.
Sam, listen. No, just listen. Yeah, I'm motherfucking high, so what? Yes, I went to see him, but he's dead. Do I sound like I want to go to a motherfucking meeting? Would you just shut the fuck up? Garth's into sick shit right now. What have you heard? Sam, what have you fucking heard? Southside Resonance? Where he funnels all his drugs and sex traffic? Listen to me.
He hangs up. Outside the emergency room entrance, at the double doors, Omar stands looking into the aquarium of injuries and illness. A tiny, frail Filipina nurse at the reception desk directing traffic. This is Eric's mom. She heads straight for Omar. The doors part. She looks at his blown out pupils.
You're fucking high. Where's Eric?
He's dead. I'm sorry. I found him by the train tracks.
She steps back, her knees buckle. Omar reaches out, but she pounds on his chest. She collapses into the arm of a fellow nurse. Interior Southside halfway house, at the storage area, garage. There are boxes along the wall, but what's of interest? Two leather armchairs sit facing each other. Digital cameras behind one, facing the other. In the hot seat, a figure shrouded in darkness, in and out of consciousness. Rufy. A door opens.
As you can see, the setup is much better. No cell phone recordings ever again.
What about the other?
Taken care of. You have the only copy.
Sam hands Garth the envelope. He opens it. A thick pancake stack of hundreds.
Thanks.
The goon enters with the kid, who is scared and only in jeans.
All right. Let's get started before our other guests arrive.
Yeah, he said he was on his way. I couldn't talk him out of it. Anyway, let's do this.
Sam unfastens his pants, taking a seat. The goon shoves the kid onto his knees. Exterior south side halfway house. Omar walks up to him, Glock in hand, sacks slung as always. He creeps up alongside, heading toward the back. He's clammy, sickly looking. The lights illuminate the hot seat. It's Joey, strung out and so high he's in ignorant, euphoric bliss. The goon pulls out a loaded syringe, administers the drug. Sam salivates, pushing the kid's head into his crotch. Then, from behind Sam, outside the halfway house, Omar crosses into the back of the house past the carport. He tries the sliding door. It's locked. Along a breezeway between a broken wooden fence and the adjoining property, there's a bathroom window, too small for Omar to climb through. Then he spies a side door, slightly ajar. He slowly walks up to it, knocks the door open more with the tip of his gun. He cautiously enters. Omar's vision is jacked. The darkness ripples like waves, morphing into the shapes of people. He tries to focus. A shape moves quickly, knocking over a camera, closes in on the chairs, and he makes Joey overdosed. He goes to the other chair, lifts the hunched head. It's Sam, dead with a bullet exit wound between his eyes.
Sick, twisted fuck.
The shape moves again. Omar steps closer.
Who's there?
It's the kid, frightened and sprayed with blood.
You are blessing less?
The kid shakes his head no. Omar motions towards the open door.
Saldiaki. Saldiaki.
Omar yanks him up by his arm and hurls him towards the door.
Aki, vamanos.
The kid takes off. Omar enters the laundry room, then moves quickly into the hallway. A small stretch, he sees an open door. He walks into the den. Moonlight glitters against several large bags of meth and heroin on the desk. Next to it, stacks of bills and a counting machine. Then a noise from outside, and he walks back into the hallway. Omar dives for the floor and slides into the laundry room, barely making it, as splinters of drywall shower him. He rolls himself up, steadies the sacks case, readies to fire. Around the dark corner, he pops off a few shots into the dark. He ducks against the wall. In the hallway, Goon is waiting, pointing the gun towards the laundry room. Omar moves into the hallway. Goon checks his kill, finding Omar on the ground, the bullet-riddled sacks case atop him. The goon drops. Omar staggers up. A blood stain grows on his shirt. It's his blood. In the common room, a spark of light. Garth cradles a sawed-off shotgun and sits in an armchair facing the hallway, having just switched on the table light next to him.
Well, 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 well. The prodigal meth head returns. You're not looking so good there. Rough night? Still carting around that busted old Sachs, huh?
Security blanket.
Like Linus. I always liked that comic strip. But you seem more like a Schroeder, head buried in your instrument. Or is Eric Schroeder and your Lucy pining away? Have a seat. Looks like you're not so much going to be able to stand much longer.
Omar shuffles towards the couch and sits. He sets down the sacks case.
You might as well lose the gun.
Omar shakes his head no.
Suit yourself. You were always stubborn.
You shoot me, I'll still get one last shot off before I die.
Well, you'll be dead soon enough anyway, bleeding out like that.
Omar struggles holding his gun.
We had such good times, didn't we?
No. We did some fucked up shit, and you only wanted me so much as you could use me.
Well, I was hurt when you started seeing Eric.
Didn't stop you from fucking him.
Doesn't mean I didn't love you any less.
You didn't love me. We're all disposable to you.
Let me ask you something. I've been wondering, did you actually love Eric? Or was it the drugs? Or maybe because it satisfied your ego? I mean, you're not exactly the biggest tool in the shed.
You didn't seem to mind when you had it. I'm dying, and you're throwing shade like a catty bitch. Okay. Seems you're right. I won't make it. And I don't want to go out like this.
Omar pulls out a loaded syringe.
One for the road.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Go ahead. But I ain't helping admit you.
I got it. Steady hands or not.
Omar removes his belt, ties off his arm. With one hand, he presses the needle against the pulsing vein. His hand shakes. Garth relaxes his grip on the shotgun. Omar can't get the needle in place. Then he's able to steady himself. His hand quivers. Then the syringe rockets across the divide between the men.
Ah! What the fuck?
Jabs into Garth's eye.
What the fuck?
Omar launches forward and he thumbs the plunger, injecting a lethal dose into Garth. Like a fish gasping on land, Garth flails until he dies. Omar makes it to the couch, opens the sax case, takes it out. He straps the sax so it hangs from his neck. With painful effort, he heads for the door. He wobbles out. Outside, underneath the train tracks at night, the police mull about the scene. Police officer escorts Eric's mom onto the scene, takes her directly to the body bag. The police officer nods his head to let an EMT know to unzip the bag. Eric's mom sees what's left of her son's face. She breaks down. The police officer goes ahead and re-zips the bag. At the Southside halfway house, Omar steps into the night. He takes one painful step after the other. Flashback montage. Flashes of Omar's memories. In the bedroom, Omar and Eric in bed. Eric curled up to Omar, twirling a lock of Omar's hair. They're laughing and smiling. At the train overpass, Omar with his sax and Eric huddled together, feet dangling over the side, chatting away as the sun sets. In the diner, Omar and Eric sharing a slice of pie. Both play fight over the last piece, but Omar lets Eric have it, and then Eric feeds it to Omar. In the jazz bar, Eric watching Omar play on stage, both locking eyes with one another. Eric plays with the ring on his neck chain.
He's hot up there. I mean, you're playing. That's hot. Even if I'm not down for that jazz stuff.
Jazz ain't for everyone, but it suits me.
At the bar exit, the exit sign flashes red above as Eric opens the door and walks through the threshold. The end of the flashback. Omar crosses the front yard toward the sidewalk. He collapses, wipes tears with his bloody hand, smearing blood on his cheeks. On his knees, he puts his lips on the mouthpiece.
Thomas Riddle, writer of Orpheus. Well, this is a story I needed to tell that I just deep down I wanted to tell, because like Omar, I too fell into a deep, dark world of drugs and sex. But there was this story I read a while back about this guy named Ed Buck. He's a wealthy, white political donor and so-called LGBT activist who's accused of preying on young Black men in LA, and he allegedly got his rocks off by injecting them with lethal doses of meth. This story just it stuck with me. It haunted me. It infuriated me, and all of the complicated feelings around that I was having at the time. And so a lot of that also went into wanting to tell this story. What was the most difficult part of the script to get right, and why? I'd have to say the ending, really. And then there was this one aspect of the script that I had in a couple of drafts was just this kind of gag. It was just a bit of business where Omar hurls the needle and it sticks up like a lawn dart, or sticks into the wall like a dartboard. And then it just dawned on me as I'm writing this ending that's how he kills Garth. Like, I've set it up. I have it twice in the script, but I need to have it a third time to finally pay it off in a very dramatic way. What are some of your favorite noir films? Let's see, I like Touch of Evil, 1958. This is the Citizen Kane of B-movie noirs. Although I recommend the 1998 restoration edit, which cuts the film to what Orson Welles originally intended and was based on Welles' original notes. The other one that I like is Elevator to the Gallows, which is also from 1958, which is this French noir with this amazing killer Miles Davis soundtrack. It follows this guy who kills his boss, who's also his lover's husband. And then he gets trapped inside of the elevator where he works right after he commits the murder. This one I like a lot too, which I just saw recently, which is called Victim. And it's a 1961 film from Britain. It stars Dirk Bogarde as a closeted lawyer. And at the time, he was a closeted actor. And he took on the role because he was tired of playing these, you know, swashbuckling, heroic leading men. He wanted really something he could grit his teeth into. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you on the flip side.
Next time on Hell, California.
They say there are no rules here, The lady can do whatever she wants with whoever she wants.
You told me, and I quote, the Shell is the jewel of the South Side. 5-star luxury accommodations, concierge service. This place is a flaccid dick pic.
TV seems to be working fine.
Got you up to my room, didn't it? Now, why don't we go to heaven? In hell.
What in the name of Dow Jones is going on here?
Follow Hell California on @HellCalifornia on Twitter and Hell, California, an anthology crime show on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hell, California, an anthology crime show, for watch party live reading events of each episode recording. For further inquiries or requests to be added to our mailing list, email us at hellcaliforniaseries@gmail.com. Hell California is powered by Zoom Catchers. Zoom Catchers provides virtual events through video conferencing platforms. They relieve hosting and planning responsibilities from businesses and individuals to give them the power to focus on forming meaningful connections with their communities. Please consult their website at zoomcatchers.us. Thanks to our actors and performers. Hell California, the podcast, is produced by Christian Elder. It is co-produced by Jeremy Foley and Sarah O'Reilly and sound engineered by Raleigh Tomasi. This podcast was recorded under a SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement. Please come and join us again. This is your host and narrator, Mike Brennan, saying, I'll see you in hell.